Up next, we talk a little Boston sports as we welcome back to the program our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. And Nick, man, is there just nothing going on in the Boston sports scene, is there?
Oh, there's never a dull moment. By the way, while my guitar gently weeps, are we weeping for a 1-2 start for the New England Patriots? Was that the thinking behind that?
I believe that's exactly the thinking from our Giants fan producer, Kerry Haskell, who put that out there. Yeah. Is there panic in the streets yet, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Last night was very interesting to watch, for sure.
Yeah, it was such a bizarre game. Among other things, I don't know. I hate it when people try to analyze the motivation behind people, but I don't know. I didn't see a lot of life. I didn't see a lot of what I would classify as aggressiveness, hunger, toughness out there. I don't know. Am I imagining things?
Nope. I thought they were as lifeless as life can be in the first half. I mean, it was one of the worst halves of football I think these Patriots have played under Bill Belichick. I mean, you start the game with three and outs, and they only ran about 18, 19 plays the first half. It was abysmal. The offense was awful. And you know, the defense gave up some points last night, but, man, when your offense can't stay on the field, you know, your guys, they played like 21 minutes of defense in the first half. It's like, they can only stop them so many times. That was bad. They showed a little emotion in the third quarter, a little bit, but after that, it just, this Patriots team, they're making you scratch your head early on here.
Well, you got to have somebody to catch the ball. It appears that maybe Philip Dorsett isn't the answer they were hoping for. It's tough when your best two receivers, one's on the sideline in sweats and the other one is suspended.
That's why I think maybe there's some panic, just the way that they were lifeless in that first half. But that's why I'm not panicking yet about this Patriots offense, because you're getting at least one major weapon you know of in Julian Edelman back. Especially on the turnaround, too, for the Thursday night game, because obviously they play the Dolphins this coming Sunday, and then they play the Thursday night game. And while everybody else is sort of, you know, scrambling to get healthy, you've got a fresh Julian Edelman to take out of the bubble wrap. And so that'll help. And then, hey, if Josh Gordon can give you something, or you can find a way to get him on the field and give him a small package of plays to run, I mean, anything can help right now, especially if that's the way the offense is going to be. And they're just going to try to double-team Gronk. I think that would take the double team away, and that opens things up for Gronk and Chris Hogan and all the other guys. So, they could definitely use those guys, and that's why I'm not panicking just yet. Not just yet.
Sony Michel, 14 carries, 50 yards in his NFL debut, and yeah, he's been getting hammered a little bit on social media, but I didn't think it was a terrible debut performance.
No, and I think we're overreacting to it because of the fact that the Patriots are desperately looking for someone to do something offensively last two games, and the fact that he, you know, came back in week two and you know, finally made his debut and finally got on the field. But he missed. He was out, I believe it was August 1st, where he sat on the shelf and had the knee drained and everything, and that's tough to come back from. He pretty much missed the preseason. So I think Patriots fans, they're just desperate to look for something, and so they're very judgy, I think, with Sony Michel. I don't think it was that bad either, Rich, and I think he's going to get better as time goes along here. He only had two games of NFL action. Mm-hmm. That's it. So it's like, you know, give the kid a chance, at least a little bit more, right?
Yeah, Matthew Stafford had a big game, 27 for 36, 262 yards. But should Patriots fans be more concerned with the way Detroit was able to run the ball last night?
Absolutely. And even in that Texans win week one, you know, I thought the defense was good enough to win that game. The one concern I had coming out of that game still was they give up a lot of yards on the ground, and they just aren't winning the battle in the trenches right now. These offensive lines have been pushing them around. I remember a play in the Texans game where I think they backed the Texans up. I think Watson just avoided a safety. They were on the 1 yard line, and then I think it was Lamar Miller that went about like 30 yards. And it was like, you can't give up those big chunk yard plays. Last night, what was concerning was the fact that they were just handing the ball off and getting like 7-8 yards a carry. I don't know what the average was, But it was bad. They looked like they could run at will, and that was not good. Not good at all. That's something that needs to improve and improve quickly for that Patriots defense.
Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Now, in past years, you could say, well, the good news is they face an AFC East opponent this week, so that'll be a breeze. But all of a sudden, they're up against one of the hottest teams and the hottest quarterbacks in the National Football League, 3-0 Miami, and Ryan Tannehill, who is 10-1 in his last 11 starts.
This is a scary stretch here for the Patriots, because this is a Dolphins team that's going to come in, and they are going to want to punch the Patriots right in the mouth at Gillette Stadium, because they know the Patriots are struggling right now. They're playing well. And then if you can get past Miami, then you get Indianapolis in here, who has Andrew Luck back. And so that's not a cakewalk exactly either. And then you get Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a tough stretch here for the Patriots. We're really going to know what they're made of here in the next few weeks. And it starts on Sunday, especially with this. This is a massive division game, too, because we've looked at the AFC East as a pushover for years. And here we are. Miami Dolphins are 3-0. You're 1-2, sitting with the Jets and the Bills right now with the same record. And you got to do something. So playing at home, you feel good. But you got a show this Sunday.
Well, and you wonder, too, did the Bills find something in Josh Allen over the weekend?
Well, we know that he did track and field in high school, apparently, after leaping over that defender. I mean, holy moly, that was something. And this is the young quarterbacks that have come into the league, Rich, are really, really impressive. And it's really good for the future of the NFL, because when Baker Mayfield comes in and saves the Browns and wins the way he did, and, yeah, Sam Darnold had a tough game that Thursday night, but, you know, his first game against the Lions, his team puts up 48 points, and here's Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes is a starter in Kansas City. I mean, you're getting a lot of good young quarterbacks, and that's a great thing for the NFL, because I think it's been missing for a little while.
Let's move from football to baseball. Should Red Sox fans be concerned? Not just with their inability to take care of business against the Indians, but clearly this bullpen is still something that Alex Cora hasn't figured out completely.
Yeah, they're putting their eggs in the Matt Barnes basket for the postseason. I think Cora has in his head what his plan is in terms of deploying that bullpen and how he gets from the starter to Craig Kimbrell. I think Barnes is part of it. Sixth, seventh inning, I think they like Ryan Brazier. You know, I know he's had his ups and downs. I think everybody in this bullpen has had ups and downs. And then besides that, I think going into last night, I thought the case could be made, and I still think the case could be made, that if Stephen Wright can come in the sixth or seventh inning, I know that knuckleball is a scary prospect coming out of the bullpen, but if he can come in, throw strikes, and get you out in the sixth, seventh inning, what a bad guy to have coming out of your bullpen, because a lot of these guys just struggle to throw strikes. And Joe Kelly and Heath Hembree, you trust those guys right now? I don't know. Stephen Wright, coming into last night, had only given up 15 runs all season, and 10 of them were in one start. So that's a guy that you're looking at that may get a postseason spot here in the bullpen. And, I mean, it's scary that you're talking about that as a prospect, but hey, they got to do what they got to do. I think Cora, though, has it in his head who he wants out there, and they've made the decision. So come time for the playoffs, we'll see what they do.
Is it possible, Nick, that the Yankees could be a better matchup for them than the Oakland A's?
That's a good question. Maybe, Rich. Maybe. I mean, that series in the Bronx, a lot of people were saying, oh, maybe the Yankees are sort of getting their swagger back against the Red Sox. But, you know, if you play them in the DS, you get games 1, 2, and 5 at Fenway. Feel pretty good about your guys at Fenway. Feel pretty good about Sale and Price pitching at Fenway against the Yankees. So maybe, because I think that they have played really, really well at home against the Yanks. And, you know, hey, maybe they go to the Bronx and steal a game too. And I don't know, this an Oakland A's team that's just like scrappy. Scrappy teams just scare you, especially in the postseason. And especially if they go and they beat the Yankees in the wild card game, you're like, oh boy, you know, they're capable of winning a playoff game and winning a desperate situation. And so, yeah, maybe the Yankees are, because you know what they are, and you've matched up against them, 19 times this season, at the end of the season. And so, yeah, maybe they are a better matchup.
Today was Celtics media day, and there's some good news to talk about, because, my goodness, seeing Gordon Hayward out there healthy. It sort of reminds us, maybe we've forgotten, how much talent and how much depth there is on this Celtics roster.
Oh, man, this is going to be a fun year, Rich. This is going to be a fun year. You could feel the vibe. I was up there today for Media Day, and there's this quiet vibe, this confidence, and they didn't do any practicing today, but they were all in uniform, taking pictures, seeing each other, whatever. You just think of the depth that they have on the roster. I mean, the starting five is stacked, and then you look at the bench, and now since you get Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back, now you push Terry Rozier to your bench, and Marcus Smart, and Marcus Morris, and Daniel Tice is coming back, and Aaron Baines is, I mean, this team is, there's a load of talent here, and today what struck me was even Coach Stevens said that, you know, he doesn't like watching pickup games because pickup games, you know, they tend to throw away their defensive habits, which he doesn't like because he's a defense guy. But he said, I mean, it's striking how good this team is, even in just pickup games, all the talent that's there. The starting five and the young guys, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, add them to Al Horford, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And man, oh man, this is going to be a fun year. I haven't been this excited about a Celtics season since probably when they made the trade for Garnett, because I think this is the year that we're finally looking at it and saying Banner 18 is a real possibility. Golden State's still the top of the league, still the best team. You gotta to be the man, you gotta beat the man, as Ric Flair used to say. But man, oh man, like this team has the talent, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun year if they can stay healthy. They got to stay healthy.
Well, that's the key. Avoid the injuries, but it sure doesn't seem. Yeah, Philadelphia is a good team, but I with everybody healthy, they seem to be head and shoulders above everybody else in the East.
Yeah, they really just the talent's there. And they got the coach. I mean, Brad Stevens is a guy that they all trust, too. And they all know how intelligent he is. And they know that they can play to their strengths when they're on the floor. And Brad Stevens is setting them up for success. And I think that was evidenced by one of the plays at the end of, Game 3 against the Sixers this past postseason. I mean, they went by, and after the game, Al Horford saying, Brad Stevens is a genius, and they all feel that. They all believe that. And so when there's a belief in the coach, a belief in the system, and a belief in the talent on the team, I think the squad can go really, really far this year. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be really, really fun.
Nick Coit, sports director, ABC 6 in Providence, joining us this afternoon. Nick, always fun. Thank you so much, sir, for making time for us, and we'll do it again before too long.
Absolutely. What a pleasure, as always, Rich. We always have something to talk about, too, that's for sure.
No question about it. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Nick Coit here on Downtown.